This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Good Intentions, written by Elliot Kay, performed by Tess Irondale.
Prologue. It would have been a beautiful spring morning, except for the war. The sky was clear. A mild wind passed through the trees above him, sending ripples through their lush, full leaves. The only things keeping the birds from singing were the gunfire and the tanks. One rumbling tank, anyway. It was his tank, rolling on away from him. Beyond that, he faintly heard the fleeing enemy tank. The other German tank sat burning nearby. He smelled the smoke. Simon lay on his back, looking up at the rustling leaves in the trees. His whole center seemed to be on fire, yet wet at the same time.
"I told your men we would stay with you," someone said.
His eyes glanced to his right, where the old gypsy woman knelt over him to gently pull the Tommy gun from his grip. She set it down and took his hand in hers. There were other gypsies nearby, but not close enough to speak.
I should be with them, he coughed.
She shook her head.
Your men will carry on. They will win. Your fighting is done.
The old woman brushed a bit of dirt from his forehead.
You look a bit young to be the leader.
Officers kept getting killed. I got moved up to replace them. Battlefield commission. I guess I was doing something right.
How long have you been fighting?
Since North Africa? 2 years, I guess. 3 now?
She nodded.
Not as long as for us.
No.
You could have turned away from this fight, she said. The Germans are done, broken. Only a matter of time now before they give up. You were outnumbered. Why did you attack?
They were going to kill you, and... Hey, my guys are winning, aren't they?
The old woman smiled a bit.
I like you Americans. You know, not many of your allies would give their lives for Roma. We are not worth so much to others here. They see us only as thieves.
He managed a grin.
Oh, well, let me try this afternoon all over again, then.
He coughed, plainly not meaning it.
Do many gypsies speak English?
Not many. Nor do I.
She smiled sadly. The old woman looked down at his hands.
Do you play the piano? Huh?
No. Never.
Ah,
she said, then shrugged.
You have a musician's hands.
Then her head cocked curiously. She touched the ring on his finger.
You are married?
Engaged,
he corrected.
Got engaged in Paris.
What is her name?
Marie,
Simon said.
Librarian. Smartest girl I ever met. I guess I should have taken that staff job and stayed, but I couldn't just abandon my guys.
The old woman nodded softly, saying nothing.
I'm not gonna see her again, am I?
She kept looking at his hands.
I am sorry,
she told him.
You have been through this before, many times. You will be through it again, one more time, I think.
She seemed at first as if she had endured too much sorrow and pain to cry for anyone, but a tear fell from her cheek onto his palm.
One more time, then maybe You will be happy. Maybe. Maybe.
Chapter 1. No Good Deed. Spooky as it was, the full moon and the stillness of the night didn't scare him. The cemetery just on the other side of the hedge hardly bothered him either. No, it was walking through the pools of direct light under the street lamps that freaked Alex out the most. By the second or third such spot, he'd realize that maybe he shouldn't have dressed all in black to walk down the street in the middle of the night. After all, some cop might roll by and think, "Hey, I wonder if that dude in all black with the black backpack and black gloves is up to something shady." Once he got to the alley between the cemetery and the storage rental complex, though, he felt better. Alex lingered there for a few deep breaths, reminding himself that no, really, people don't do crazy cult stuff in graveyards under the full moon. That was all just movie bullshit. The climb up the vine-covered iron fence provided only a mild challenge. Though not a serious athlete, he was thin and in relatively decent shape. He felt good about the climb until it came to the three strings of barbed wire concealed by all the leaves at the top. Okay, he thought. No problem, I'm not impaled. Just scratched. I can afford another sweatshirt. Just go slow, haul it up, over, and okay, not there, that's another barb. Grab that overhanging branch, haul it up, ow, 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 my leg, ow, fuck. It was awkward. Had any of his friends been there, they'd have made fun of him and called him a slowpoke, a klutz, a total pussy, and a thousand other shitty things. But he made it over. His landing surely made less noise than a car crash. Okay, that's just nerves, he thought. I'm doing fine. Just a rustle and a thump. No big deal. Alley cats are noisier. Nobody's here. I'm fine. I'm fine. Total ninja. Then his cell phone went off. Fuck, he hissed, clutching at his back pocket. The sound of his tool ringtone reminded him that, yes, he was in fact a complete tool for forgetting to put the phone on vibrate before he went sneaking into a graveyard. He immediately answered. Jason would probably call until Alex picked up. Alex cursed his friends for being 19 and stupid, mindfully including himself on both counts. What? He hissed by way of a greeting. At least the cemetery remained quiet despite the disturbance. No sirens, no floodlights or groundskeeper's flashlights, no ghosts or zombies. Yet.
Yo, nigga, where you at?
Jason, when you get your ass beat by some black guy who doesn't like hearing white people call each other that, I'm seriously gonna point at you and laugh.
Yeah, if you ain't running. Seriously, where are you?
Doing my photography homework.
Way to spend your Monday nights.
I need night shots, Alex said tersely.
I thought you only took that class because it was full of hotties.
Yeah, well, the cute ones are all taking the class seriously, so I guess I'd better too. Jason, I can't talk right now. What do you want?
Just calling to say we're playing pool if you want to come.
Alex sighed and rolled his eyes. The lesson here was to come up with his good photo concepts before his friends decided on something fun to do. No, he said.
Not tonight. I'm good. Thanks.
Okay.
What are you doing anyway?
Jesus. What part of I can't talk is so unintelligible?
I'll show you later, Alex said. I gotta go. Later, man.
He cut the connection, made absolutely sure to put the phone on silent, and slipped it back into his pocket. A minute of stillness later, Alex had his nerves good and settled. Nobody came out looking for him after all that noise. Whatever night watchman the place had was doubtlessly not really watching. Sacred Heart Cemetery spread out across ground that gently rose and fell with bushes and low hedgerows here and there. The only lights shining within the quiet, still grounds were the external floodlights at the large chapel at the center of the cemetery. Seattle hadn't given up on summer yet. It was still early September, with the usual rain still days or weeks away, and the leaves still on all the trees. Alex kept low and moved slowly, using whatever trees and bushes he could for concealment, just in case. His assignment was for night photography of still subjects. He could have picked a considerably easier site, but there were a couple of drop-dead hot goth girls in his photography class. They seemed to like creepy stuff, so he figured, naively, he had to admit, some shots of the cemetery at night would at least be conversation starters. The cemetery groundskeeper hadn't bought into it when Alex called during the day to ask for permission. The guy hardly even listened. Alex wasn't normally one for doing crazy things like this, but lately, that very factor seemed to chafe at him. He didn't take many risks. He tended to play by the rules. Just boring, nice guy Alex, never with anything crazy to share at parties. Even now, his hopes for this little stunt were not high. A single act of trespassing wouldn't change his life forever. He only wanted a couple shots as icebreakers with Molly and Onyx, nothing more. Yeah, those are from Sacred Heart Cemetery. No, they don't allow you to get in there at night. But if you climb the fence and stumble around in the dark anyway, you can get this really cool shot of this statue here. And you can sneak up on the chapel and get a pic of the steeple with the moon overhead, and it feels totally creepy, and there's this mist and stuff, and you almost feel like you can hear wailing. Alex stopped taking pictures and listened. Was that someone wailing? It sounded like a scream coming from the chapel. A woman's scream in fear or pain or both. Alex waited and heard another one. It sounded like someone yelling no. His imagination tried to run away with him, but he quickly stomped on it. For all he knew, the groundskeeper sat inside watching a movie with the volume on full blast. Still, his concern overrode his hesitation. The last thing he wanted to do was abandon someone in trouble to avoid being yelled at or getting a fine for a little after-hours photography. Slipping closer to the chapel, quickly now, since whatever was going on inside offered some cover, he thought he heard men chanting, though windows and curtains muffled it all. A dim orange glow flickered behind the white fabric. Up near the walls and windows now, he heard a sharp shriek of pain, probably a woman's. Another woman yelled, "You've got to stop this! You don't know what you're doing!"
"Shut her up!"
bellowed a man's voice, breaking the chant only momentarily. A sharp crack and a grunt interrupted the cries of agony from the first woman's voice. Alex's did his best to stay calm as his heart raced. He suddenly felt out of breath. That definitely wasn't a television. Alex stayed low and alert as he moved around to the back door. He found it locked. The windows were shut. Crazy as it was, he considered checking the front door. The floodlights made that risky, but this place was truly dead outside the chapel. The first woman's cries stopped. The chanting male voices continued. He heard another sharp crack, which elicited a yelp of pain, followed by another, and then another. He had never heard the sound of anyone being whipped in real life, but that seemed to fit the bill. Alex slipped up onto the porch quickly, slowed down as he grabbed the doorknob, and found it unlocked. He had no more time to think now that he stood exposed in the porch lights. Alex slipped inside. The foyer, thankfully, lay empty and dark, lit mainly by the intense glow of candlelight from down hallways on opposite sides of the room, both leading to a central chamber. He found comfortable chairs and random pictures on the walls, and a shelf of books that probably nobody ever read. From down the hallways off to his right, Alex heard the sharp crack of the whip and the cries it forced from its victims, along with the chanting of those male voices, a handful at the most. A distinctly smoky sulfur smell hung in the warm air.
"Why are you doing this?"
a woman asked in a desperate, almost sobbing voice.
"This is crazy. It's beyond evil. You're going to end up..."
Her inquiry ended in another scream. "You don't know," the whip cracked.
"Ah,
what you're crack... playing with, old fool." The second voice was feminine, like the first, but lower and angrier.
"I know precisely what I'm doing, whore daughter of Satan," said the deeper, clearly male voice.
The others kept chanting.
"How else did you get here? Why are you trapped? Why do you bleed?"
Alex crept up to the hallway. This is totally crazy, he thought, but he didn't want to go calling the cops on just what he heard. What if this is... He scowled, fearfully. He didn't know what it could possibly be. He had to see. The memorial service chamber lay cleared of furniture. Lit candles occupied virtually every possible space along the walls, which altogether put out significant heat. Bizarre runes written in ash decorated the floor. Circles of more ash sat here and there, all with the bloody bodies of dead dogs, cats, and birds in the center. Alex even saw a human hand in the mess. A smoldering pile of ashes occupied another large circular outline near the hallway. Two bloodied, mostly naked women hung from the ceiling by chains attached to their wrists near the center of the room. They faced away from Alex. Bloody pentagrams had been drawn on the floor around the feet of each. Both women bled from nearly identical wounds on their backs. Two deep, vertical gashes, parallel to the spine, below the shoulders. The woman on the right was blonde and lithe. An odd scattering of long white feathers lay around her bare feet. A few more of them stuck to the trails of fresh blood on her back. A white cloth of some sort hung around her waist, torn and sagging off her hips. The one on the left had no feathers around her, but looked much worse for wear. She bore an additional deep, wide gash just above her rear, which was only barely covered by a black thong. Her dark-haired head slumped forward, steadily dripping blood. A trio of men lurked around them. One wielded a whip. Another held a goblet and a bloody, wavy-looking dagger. The apparent leader wore a priest's cassock and looked fairly old, but hardened. The other two dressed in ordinary street clothes. The first goon lashed out with the whip again, looking more than a little excited. The other, with the goblet and dagger, was noticeably bigger and marginally better groomed than the first. Scary as the scene was, none of them looked particularly imposing. The funky dagger and whip seemed to be the only weapons present. The whipping paused, and the chanting picked up. Alex watched as the priest took the goblet and held it between the two women, chanting something new, loudly and forcefully.
No!
The blonde shrieked.
You stupid fucker, don't do this!
The other woman yelled nothing, but instead spit a bloody mess onto the priest's face. His eyes flared, and he faltered in his incantation, but began again and this time finished it. He held the goblet under the dark-haired woman's head, which he had to hold in place to prevent her from resisting. Alex saw blood flow from wounds just at her hairline. The priest then turned to catch blood running from the wounds at the blonde woman's back.
With this cup, I gather your essences, the priest said solemnly. The purest of your good, the foulest of your evil, you will bend to my will. You will serve me loyally and faithfully.
The other two men paused and looked at each other.
And us too,
the whip wielder reminded.
Shut up, Harold,
the priest growled. The men glanced at one another again.
Just saying is all,
muttered Harold, mostly to his feet. He busied himself coiling up the whip.
There's no turning back from this, no absolution, yelled the blonde. You're damning your own souls.
You'll burn in hell for this,
hissed the other woman.
That's a lovely way to talk to your new master, whore daughter of Satan. You can feel it happening, can't you? Your connection to your old master is already broken. We can fix that right now, though,
the priest said.
I think I'll start with you first. Harold, Troy, spread her out on the altar.
He waited a moment, and then rolled his eyes as the other two men hesitated. He sighed.
You'll have her when I'm done with her, of course, but it's necessary for the spell. Oh,
the two men nodded. They quickly set to undoing her chains.
You're going to rape her?
The blonde gasped.
Both of you, before I'm through.
The priest grinned.
Oh, fuck that noise.
Alex decided. He retreated back a bit, frantically trying to figure out what to do. Call the cops, definitely, but by the time they showed up, Alex frowned. He couldn't waste time talking to them anyway. He quickly found a phone in the foyer, picked it up off the receiver, dialed 911, and left it off the hook. The cops would get there when they got there. Hopefully in time to rescue my stupid ass. Dropping the backpack, Alex fished around in his pockets for the pepper spray he'd brought along just in case. It wasn't enough, though. He had heard that crazy people weren't always put down by pepper spray. What if he missed? What if the canister jammed? He looked into the side rooms. Like most funeral chapels, this one had extra small rooms for private conversations and grieving and such, but comfortable chairs and boxes of tissues wouldn't be of much use. He soon found a fireplace, complete with a set of fireplace tools. Alex rushed in and grabbed the long, heavy iron poker. It would have to do. This is fucking nuts, he thought. I'm going to get caught. I'm going to die. If I hadn't pulled this stupid stunt, I wouldn't know this was even going on. One of the women cried out in terrible pain. I'll never forgive myself if I don't do something. At the far end of the room lay an altar, desecrated not only by candles and random spooky cultist ritual junk, but also by the bloodied, dark-haired woman. The chains on her arms now ran around the back legs of the altar. Her captors kept her legs apart with sheets tied from her ankles to the front table legs. The priest removed his cassock in front of her. The others stood by while the chained blonde shouted, There's no turning back from this, you batshit freak! You'll be damned forever!
Troy, hold the cup for a second. Harold, shut her up!
The priest grumbled. The whip-wielder stepped behind the blonde, yanking her hair back hard, while the priest cast aside his cassock and undid his belt buckle. Alex couldn't think of a better moment to ambush three guys than when their backs were turned and one had just dropped his pants.
I'll see you burn,
the woman on the altar snarled at the priest.
Stop!
The blonde screamed. Under this distraction, Alex quickly covered the few feet between his hiding spot and Harold. With the fire poker coiled up to strike, he brought it down across the back of Harold's head with all the torque he could muster. The curved head of the poker struck solidly across Harold's skull, sending him reeling to the floor. The blonde's scream ended in sharp surprise. Alex pulled the spray canister from his pocket and kept going.
The blood anoints your master. It protects from your lies and curses. You feel the master's pleasure as your pleasure. You shall serve and protect the anointed one.
The priest reached out for the cup, but Troy, looking backward at the curious sound, faltered.
Boss!
He yelled, just before getting a face full of pepper spray. Reflexively, Troy lashed out with the only thing in his hand. The cup of blood splashed across Alex's face and chest, bonking him on the cheek. Troy went down screaming. The priest turned, but stumbled with his pants still around his ankles. He narrowly avoided the second blast of spray, but even the stench of it made him choke. The priest fell backwards, bumping into the altar and then hitting the ground. Alex kicked him hard in the groin and stomped on his side. The pepper spray ran dry. Alex dropped the canister, heaved back with the fire poker, and swung it down on the priest's head. His awkward strike hit more shoulder than skull. Alex wiped some of the spilled blood from his eyes and wound up for another blow. That was when Harold barreled into him from the side.
Kill ya, you little fuck!
He growled, pushing Alex's head down onto the altar and groping for his neck. Alex groped too, fumbling around for a way to hurt the man. He finally found the thug's crotch and grabbed as viciously as he could. Harold roared in pain, giving Alex the chance to shove him off. Alex hit Harold again with the fire poker, this time squarely in the base of the skull. The older man staggered to the ground.
I can't see,
Troy wailed, blindly crawling away from the action.
Free me,
both women yelled.
No, me first,
they both yelled again when they realized they had spoken simultaneously.
Not her, me.
Stop,
the priest groaned, trying to get up.
Don't know what you're doing.
Not stopping to say anything witty, Alex punted the priest's head like a football. He then turned his frantic attention to the two women. Chains ran from hooks in the ceiling to the blonde's shackles, with too little slack for her feet to touch the floor. The other woman struggled to keep her head up to watch, allowing Alex to see her wounds. Two round gouges marred her forehead, each slightly below the scalp, not far out of line from her eyes. Blood and bruises marred her face. Alex gasped in shock at how badly the women were hurt. He rushed to the one on the altar. The manacles weren't locked, so he tried to unlatch the one on her left wrist. The pin keeping her manacles latched did not come free easily. Without all of his adrenaline, he might not have been able to move it at all. "Hurry," the captive urged. "I can help you if I can just get free." With one wrist finally freed, Alex looked to the men. Troy was almost to his feet, blindly, as was Harold. Not wanting to let them regroup, Alex shoved the one into the other. Both tumbled through the big pile of ashes near the hallway. Candles and sacrificial remains clattered across the floor.
"No!"
Alex heard the priest gasp. "Yes!" the woman on the altar hissed, rising partially with one arm freed. She inhaled deeply and then blew a long stream of fire from her mouth at her tormentor. The priest shrieked as he was engulfed. His burning form soon flailed about in panic.
"Holy shit!"
Alex blurted. Though fatigued and injured, the woman watched with a frightening grin. "Get me down," said the blonde. We won't hurt you, but we have to move." Alex didn't think twice. He wrapped one arm around the blonde's waist, heaving her up a bit to create some slack. By the time he unlatched her manacles, the priest crashed into a far wall, knocking candles and bookshelves over onto the floor. Fire caught along the curtains and walls. "I only need a moment," the blonde gasped, slumping in Alex's arms. "Leave me. Get her off the altar." Alex obeyed, allowing the blonde to sink to the floor while he rushed to the other woman. The heat and stench from the burning priest, now surely dead, were overwhelming. Alex pushed past his fear and revulsion to untie her ankles.
"My hand, more mess. No."
The woman groaned. Apparently, breathing fire had taken the last of her strength. She couldn't twist enough to reach her chained wrist with her free hand. Alex reached over her naked chest and fought to unlatch the iron around her wrists.
"I'll get you out. You're gonna be okay. We're gonna be okay,"
Alex said in a rush, trying to convince himself as much as her. With her hand freed, he pulled her upright, holding her to him and moving away from the altar. He turned straight around to see Troy and Harold on their feet, staggering but recovered enough to fight.
"Oh, shit,"
Alex gulped, seeing the bloody, wavy dagger in Troy's hand. "You've done your part," the blonde said. She rose, with one hand stretched toward the ceiling. A long stream of fire extended from her palm, and as she lowered it to her side, it formed a sword of flame. Alex, Harold, and Troy all had a moment to be stunned. The woman in Alex's arms just grunted.
"Show off,"
she muttered.
"This desecration of the Lord's house will not stand,"
the blonde said gravely. She swung her sword wide, cutting through both Harold and Troy and igniting their bodies as if they were dressed in flash paper.
"Jesus Christ!"
Alex blurted.
"Don't blaspheme," the blonde replied absently, looking around the room. "I can walk on my own. Take her and go."
"Right,"
Alex said, not wanting to argue with anyone holding a flaming sword. He hauled the dark-haired woman out to the foyer, having just enough presence of mind to grab his backpack. Behind him, he heard the screams of burning men and the roar of an inferno coming to life. Chapter 2. It's not you, it's me.
"Why don't they come up here and arrest us?"
Alex asked. He stood with the two women by a statue of an angel, on a small rise away from the chapel. Blood from the goblet still covered his face. Firefighters worked to dampen the flames of the chapel while police began scouring the area. The three of them stood in darkness, but many flashing lights passed over them. Both women answered at once.
"That's me,"
the blonde replied, while the dark-haired one said, "I'm concealing us." They stopped, looked at each other sharply, and then turned away. Given a moment to get his bearings,
Alex realized that underneath all the blood and bruises, both women were shockingly beautiful. The blonde already showed signs of recovery. She pulled the tattered remains of her dress up off her hips to cover her chest. Alex thought she seemed about his age. The other, perhaps a decade older, mostly looked away from the other two.
So they don't see or hear us here?
No, the blonde answered.
Huh, Kay. I can't believe you're both standing after all that.
I'm getting better, the blonde answered. I'll manage, the other shrugged. How did you find us? The blonde asked. Did you know about this? Did you receive some revelation?
I just snuck onto the property to take some pictures. Then I heard the screaming. Turned out the front door wasn't locked. I had no idea what I'd find here.
She smiled a bit. Mysterious ways, she said.
Bugger your patriarchal sky god, the other woman grimaced.
Alex hesitated. Every word seemed to make this even more awkward, but just standing there didn't seem to be all that slick either.
Are you cold?
He asked the dark-haired woman.
You could have my sweatshirt at least.
She looked at him blankly.
Hey, I'm just trying to help. This is all so crazy. Who the hell are you two, anyway?
Interesting choice of words, the blonde said. The other woman spat blood onto the ground.
Sorry,
Alex muttered. I guess there's no harm in telling at this point. You can call me Rachel, the blonde began. I am an angel of the third host, charged with... Never mind, probably means fuck all to you. I'm an angel, and that's all you need to know. This one, she said, gesturing at the other woman, is, well, why don't you tell us?
Bitch,
the other grunted bitterly. I'm sure we could call you something fouler, Rachel smirked.
Whoa, hey, how about we not fight?
Alex moved between them and held his hands up peaceably.
Look, I'm Alex, okay? You're Rachel, okay, cool, and what's your name?
Call me Lorelei, Matt. She stopped herself. Startled by the name, Rachel's posture stiffened and she stepped back. She quickly swallowed and regained her composure before either of the others noticed. That first name might fit wonderfully then, she commented.
Look, ladies, can we please just cool it? Jeez, you're like cats and dogs or something.
Rachel looked at him evenly, and then the implication clicked in Alex's head. He looked at Lorelei with wide eyes.
But aren't you supposed to have, like, wings?
They cut off our wings after we were summoned by their sorcery, Rachel explained. And her little horns and tail. They burned it all to power their ritual. That's how they got that big pile of ashes. Magic often works in symbolism, and I suppose those features symbolize power. They wanted to weaken us. Lorelei is a succubus, Rachel continued with a hint of venom. Do you know what that is? He knew only what he had picked up from the rule books for Jason's role-playing games.
Isn't that like a hottie girl demon?
Rachel rolled her eyes. Yes, a hottie girl demon. The succubi seduce men on Earth to sate their immortal lusts. Their victims give their all until they are shriveled husks, abandoning life and everything of importance to fuck the evil little trollops. Men fornicate with them to their literal deaths.
Holy shit. Is she serious?
Lorelei only reluctantly raised her eyes to meet Alex's gaze.
She greatly simplifies, she said quietly. You have nothing to fear from me, Mast.
Again, she cut herself off. Rachel looked on with newly aroused interest.
So you steal souls?
Rachel giggled while Lorelei shook her head.
It's not like that, Lorelei said simply. I can tell you later.
Yes, I'll just bet you can, Lorelei, Rachel said.
What's so funny about this?
Alex asked. Oh, I think Lorelei here was affected by this insanity much more than I. Do you remember what the fallen priest was saying?
Bite your tongue, angel. Lorelai snapped.
I was kind of busy trying to rescue you two and not freak the hell out at the time. I'm just a college student.
Rachel considered her words. I'm probably not supposed to tell you all this, but fuck it. She leaned back, casually putting her butt against a headstone. Alex blinked at the angel's language, but she didn't notice. Those men were trying to use sorcery to enslave us both. Well, the priest was, anyway. The others were just his goons. One of them must have been the genius that left the door unlocked, thankfully. They summoned and imprisoned us through ritual magic. They tortured us to keep us weak. The chains, the whip, cutting off our wings, all that fucked up shit. And then, with that goblet as a tool, the priest drew out part of our essences. My purest good, her foulest evil, like he said. Alex's jaw dropped. He touched his stained cheek.
You mean that's what's all over my face? Is that gonna do something to me?
It already has, to all three of us, said Rachel, with a hint of amusement. Though Lorelai here obviously got the worst of it. He worked harder on her. Neither of us can hurt you nor lie to you now. And again, Lorelai's just not as evil as she was. We'll have to wait and see how much difference that makes. And I, she said, a bit sadly, am something less now than I was. Though the hosts may be able to remedy that later.
So you're not a good guy angel anymore, and she's not a bad guy demon? What happens with me?
Oh, I'm still good at heart, I can tell you that. And Lorelai, well, that's up to her. But as for you, again, the ritual was meant to enslave us both to the recipient of those essences. I can't lie to you or hurt you, though I wouldn't regardless. But I sure don't feel enslaved. Lorelai got it worse, though.
Go ahead and run your mouth more, wretch.
Lorelai grumbled bitterly. Or have you not noticed that Lorelai keeps almost calling you Master? She's fighting it, but she's losing. Rachel only slightly suppressed her grin. Again, Alex's jaw dropped.
What? He blurted. I didn't mean... Oh my god. Lorelai, I wasn't trying to enslave you. I was trying to help. Holy shit. This is crazy. I just didn't want you to get hurt anymore, or raped, or... Oh my god.
Lorelai looked at Alex like he had grown another head and started speaking Chinese. Rachel chuckled. Abashed, the devil stood and felt.
Oh, shut up.
Lorelai interrupted bitterly.
Isn't that from The Crow?
Alex asked. Rachel sighed. No, Milton, Paradise Lost. Keep going to college, Alex. You'll get it.
Is this permanent? What happens when I wash this off my face?
Nothing, Lorelai answered.
The blood is a symbol and a conveyance, nothing more. The deed is done. We are both diminished. I cannot mislead you or harm you, and I will not be claiming any more lives as I once did. Master,
she added, as if admitting defeat.
Alex was floored. There's gotta be some way to free you, though, right? I mean, slavery's just wrong.
This is not slavery, as you understand it. That is an oversimplification. Virtually every demon in hell is servant or slave to another, said Lorelai. The priest had already severed my connection to my previous master. Another master would inevitably take that place. His ritual served to fill that void, yet it fell to you. That seems far preferable to his original intentions. Regardless, to return to hell diminished like this would be unimaginable. Given the conditions, this is the least of bad alternatives.
Magnanimous for a demon. That pull on your essence must have gone deep. Rachel quipped.
I would still bite off your wagging tongue,
hag, Lorelai snarled.
Wait, so what am I supposed to do?
Alex asked.
Won't some other big bad demon come looking for her?
Possibly, but unlikely, Lorelai said, more to the ground than to Alex. I wouldn't worry about it, Rachel added. Lorelai's damaged goods, and greater demons generally can't act overtly against mortals. You haven't done anything to lose the protection of heaven. The thought gave her pause. She frowned, looking around a moment, and then shrugged. In any event, you have an angel in your debt. You'd be a complicated target.
You don't have to feel like you owe me anything,
he said.
I just did what someone had to do. But, I mean, no offense, Lorelai, but...
He turned back to Rachel.
Is it seriously okay for a normal guy like me to have a demon, working for him? I don't want to wind up in hell.
Bound to you would be a better term, Rachel offered. And that's something only time will tell. Still, it's not like she can fuck off back to where she came from now, and I can't take her with me. You'll have to keep her close so she doesn't run around being, well, evil. She smirked at Lorelai's glare. Hell, you might be a good influence on her. Again, Rachel looked around as if watching for someone. I'll be watching over you, Alex, she said, as if deciding something profound. Remember, she can't lie to you or try to bring you harm, including to your soul. Trust yourself. See ya. She turned and started walking away, gradually fading from sight.
Wait, you're just leaving? What am I supposed to do now?
Rachel looked back and shrugged. What else would you do? Go home.
Home? Alex blurted out. I still live with my mom.
Silence followed. With the angel gone, Alex turned to face the naked, battered yet beautiful demoness. A million thoughts came at once, and he had no idea where to begin.
So you can stay invisible?
I have great ability at illusion, master, yes. She responded evenly. I haven't the strength just now for much else, but I can manage this. No one but you will know I am present.
Guess you'll have to be invisible on the back of my motorcycle then, cause I only brought one helmet and I don't want to get a ticket. You sure you don't want my sweatshirt?
The underground garage of his townhouse complex sat unoccupied when they arrived. Lorelai gracefully dismounted and stood behind Alex once he parked. Alex got off the bike somewhat more nervously. He'd never brought a girl home, let alone a woman like this. Standing next to the bike, Alex pulled off his helmet and found the breath knocked right out of him. Her bruises and abrasions had vanished. Her hair still hung alluringly over her otherwise bare, full breasts. She wore his sweatshirt tied around her waist with its sleeves hanging between her legs at the front. Yet all that did was make her shapely hips all the more enticing. The blood, soot, and other marks remained, but her beauty still left him speechless. I seem able to heal, at least, Lorelai said, noting his very obvious reaction. It is good that you are pleased, master. She noted his wary looks at their surroundings and said, We are alone. Were we not, we would still be undetected, unless you wished it, master.
Does it bother you at all?
Alex said hesitantly.
Calling me that?
Not especially. I have always had a master. Now it is you. Does the word trouble you?
A little. A lot. Yeah. Maybe you should just call me by my name.
Very well, Alex. Shall I remain unnoticed when we go inside? You said you live with your mother. I imagine you would rather not reveal me to her.
Yeah, it's just me and Mom. I want to move out soon, but I can't quite afford my own place just yet while I'm in school, and I'm babbling, aren't I?
Yes, Alex. She smiled. You need not apologize. I can be quite accommodating. Your material circumstances are irrelevant to me, unless you wish to make them my business.
Okay, well, Mom's probably sleeping by now, so we should just be quiet and head for my room. Can you make sure neither of us wakes her?
Done.
Okay. I mean, don't wake her tonight,
he blurted suddenly.
Just tonight, like, let her sleep normally. Don't, like, put her to sleep for 100 years or something.
Alex, she said with a quiet smile, you can relax. I'm not a genie seeking to forge your doom from a carelessly worded wish. I will not seek to betray you simply because I am a demon. My first role was, to ruin and punish the wicked. I was not born to lead the virtuous astray. That task falls to other demons, and no angel, no matter how crass, would leave you with me if it endangered you.
I'm sorry, he frowned. I'm not exactly at my best here.
Little about you suggests a lack of social skill. This unique situation is surely outside your experience, Lorelai conceded. Yet you handle a crisis well. You think of others before yourself. I am intrigued.
You're being a lot nicer all of a sudden,
Alex said warily. We're not in the presence of one of the snots of the heavenly hosts. Her flirtatious tone sent his heart into overdrive. I have had time to recover. You have been entirely kind and considerate, and I am deeply in your debt. You are also my master. As I said, I have always served one master or another. You are already far more pleasant than your predecessors. I have no reason to be disagreeable. Alex didn't know what to say. He just stared. Her eyes danced with amusement. Her voice alone was entrancing, and just standing there talking with her gave him the stiffest hard-on of his life, and he wasn't even looking below her smudged-up face.
How may I serve, Master? I'm sorry, she corrected. Alex?
Let's just, go inside.
Alex tried to be subtle in adjusting his pants as he walked. He failed. Lorelai saw and was pleased. Inside, they found the living room light had been left on. The townhouse lay quiet. His mother had to be asleep. Alex led Lorelai up the stairs, which she ascended with mild curiosity as she looked around. His mother had done relatively well in the corporate world, but the realities of single parenting had made them a more or less middle-class family. Alex led her into his bedroom and shut the door.
You need not be so careful, Lorelai said casually.
As you wished, I am covering our sounds. I need only whisper into your mother's bedroom to ensure she will sleep soundly through the night. You can relax. Alex sighed, dropping his backpack and helmet on his relatively bare desk.
Thank you. I'm pretty tired, I guess. I just need a shower.
As do I, she responded. A more experienced man would have recognized the invitation. Overwhelmed as he was, Alex didn't discern any difference from every other smoldering hot word coming out of her mouth. The hint shot right past him.
Okay, well, there are 2 showers. I suppose you could use mine, and I'll just use Mom's. I can keep it quick so you don't run out of hot water. I guess I'm gonna have to get you some clothes?
Lorelai cocked her head to one side curiously. It had the effect of raising the hair that dangled over her right breast, revealing more of the curve and giving Alex's already thumping heart an extra beat. As if taunting and teasing just happened automatically for Lorelai, though, it wasn't fully uncovered. That would be wise, or if you wish me to be seen in public, I can create the illusion of whatever clothes you like for others, while you will still see me as I am. I am perfectly at ease in the nude, but if it makes you uncomfortable? 12 replies tried to come out of Alex's mouth at once, but jammed up until all he got out was,
whatever's comfortable for you. Are you hungry? Do you actually eat?
Lorelai shrugged a bit, realizing she'd have to dispense with the minutiae of mortal life. I can eat, but I do not need food to sustain myself. I normally need little sleep, though after tonight I would greatly appreciate laying in a bed, she said, indicating Alex's twin-sized bed. I have walked this mortal world for centuries, Alex. Despite tonight's ill turns, I can take care of myself. Your concern for my comfort is appreciated, but unnecessary. She smiled, her blue eyes twinkling. It gave Alex his 14th heart attack of the night.
Okay, cool, I'll just go, shower. I'm exhausted.
With that, he grabbed some clothes and stepped out. Lorelai looked on in awe. That bulge in his jeans showed that Alex had a perfectly natural response to her presence. He seemed a bit shy, but not exceptionally so. If anything, he seemed to be fighting his urges with virtue. How often had Lorelai seen that? She slipped the sweatshirt from her hips, tossing it aside. Lorelai then briefly looked into the other bedroom, deepening his mother's slumber with a mild enchantment. She took her time in cleaning up, still bemused at showering alone. By the time she finished, she found Alex already dozing. He lay on his bed, his short black hair wet and his filthy clothes exchanged for simple blue sweatpants and a t-shirt. She found him physically appealing enough. He didn't seem socially awkward so much as overwhelmed by events, which she could understand. Yet all that left her questioning his inexperience. Lorelai entered the room brushing her hair as she looked down at her new master. She felt very strange. Nothing like this had ever happened to her before, nor could it stand for long. She had to devise an eventual escape. Before that, though, she had to understand her current circumstances and had to recover. That left her under Alex's direct power for now. She saw no reason she couldn't have plenty of fun with that. Lorelai slipped up to him, grinning as his eyes fluttered open. He gasped at the sight of her fully nude for the first time. That face would never need makeup. Her hair was back over her shoulders to reveal her magnificent chest. Her figure was shapely and perfectly curved, her skin smooth and flawless. "Do you like what you see, Alex?" She smiled seductively, placing one knee between his legs and leaning over him. "Yes," he said, his voice barely above a whisper. "Of course." "I'm glad. I like to be watched. I'm glad you find me beautiful. And I'm yours, Alex." She drew ever nearer, her breasts hanging alluringly close to his mouth. "Take me as you like."
"You, Lorelai, you don't have to do this."
Alex blinked.
"Don't have to?"
she asked, pulling back curiously.
"I don't want you to feel like you have to have sex with me because I'm your..."
His voice trailed off, plainly reluctant to say it. It was Lorelai's turn to be shocked. This was unprecedented. "Were I reluctant to lay with you, I would avoid it until you commanded me. I wouldn't offer or encourage you." That made sense, in Alex's racing mind. He couldn't keep control of his pounding heart, or the heavy feeling in his breath and in his stomach. The most gorgeous woman he'd ever seen was practically throwing herself on him, yet he feared what would come of it if he accepted.
"I'm just... even if you're honestly willing, you're a demon. How do I know I won't turn into some crazy perverted loon, humping everything with a hole in it until I wind up in hell?"
Lorelai erupted with laughter. It was not entirely kind, but not entirely mocking, either. "I cannot tell you much about how the divine judge all things," she said, "but I have seen hell many times. I promise you no one is damned for mere fornication, no matter how frequent or how lewd. You poor mortals have been given a very skewed understanding of things."
"Okay, fine, but we just met. People don't really just meet and jump into bed with each other. Not in real life. Not without, I don't know, being drunk or something."
"Of course they do." Alex frowned.
"Okay, well, that's never happened to me, anyway. That's just something my friends all lie about happening to them."
Lorelai's eyebrows rose. "Well, here I am. I guarantee you in all your life, no friend of yours will have anything this good."
"Still, I don't know if we should just
fuck,
Alex confessed. Lorelai sat upright, giving him yet another view of her beauty in all its glory.
Lust frightens you, she observed. You're afraid to act on it.
Alex reached for a better dodge, but failed. The only thing that came out of his mouth was the uncomfortable truth.
Maybe I'm afraid I'll think too much of it. Fall in love. Get my heart broken.
You're afraid you'll fall in love after one night of sex?
I could fall in love with you just looking at you.
She fell quiet. Once again, there was a tiny crack of surprise in her composure. She asked softly, Then why don't you? He shook his head.
It's more than that. You're here because you have to be, not because you chose it. If I took advantage of that, how am I any better than that priest? How's it any better for you? What if you end up hating me?
Lorelai considered it for a heartbeat. It could be fun that way. Kinky.
Are you serious? I couldn't do that to you.
Oh, this is funny. Lorelai sighed, looking around briefly. His room was full of posters and books, some serious, some not. Alex had come into adulthood but had not yet entirely put away childish things.
How old are you? Almost 20.
And no girlfriend? A virgin, I take it, yes? Alex scowled a bit, but answered defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I've dated, but...
I am beautiful, naked, and offering myself to you, bound to you for eternity, and yet you won't touch me because you're afraid I'll think you see me as just some slut. And you're also afraid that I'll fuck you all the way into hell to burn for all eternity with a broken heart. Is that about right?
I guess.
That's a lot of hang-ups. At least you're not worried about measuring up as a lover, she mused aloud. The look that crossed Alex's face told her otherwise, and she rolled her eyes. Put it out of your head. I'm not a normal woman. You'll have me panting and begging for more the moment you start enjoying yourself. Succubus, remember? Hell, half the men I fucked just laid there until they died, but you wouldn't see me buffing my nails in the middle of it. Silence.
Wow, that makes me feel so much better, Lorelai.
Alex deadpanned, finally. That's not you and I, she said, softening her tone and tracing a finger down his chest, which had him inhaling sharply. I cannot mislead you, Alex. No one is a masterful lover their first time, but you're doing fine for natural endowment, she said, her finger tracing further down past the waistband of his sweats to give him a genuine rush. I like everything that I see, and you have the best teacher you could possibly ask for. The conflict in his eyes remained. She tried again, still speaking in sultry tones. Bound, Alex, permanently. All the security anyone could dream of. And don't worry about making me feel like I'm some slut. That's very much what I am. Her look became much more direct and meaningful. Only from now on, I'm your slut. Another heart attack. He'd fantasized about girls saying something like that before. But he knew fantasy from reality, and this was no ordinary girl. He'd seen her breathe fire all over someone tonight.
Maybe we could just take it slow.
She shook her head, trying not to laugh in exasperation. As you wish, of course. The angel herself said you had nothing to fear from me. May I lie next to you? I promise not to steal your virginity in your sleep.
Sure,
Alex said. Lorelai pushed the sheets over them both and curled up beside him. Lust is not a real sin, Alex, Lorelai told him softly. Your churches have had that part wrong all these years, and the angels never bothered to straighten it out. The sin comes from causing harm in pursuit of lust. That has been my purpose in this world, to lead the wicked to abandon all responsibility and virtue or carnal pleasures. Yet there is no wickedness in you. I was naked and in your power, and your first thought was to offer me the shirt off your back.
Even now you are concerned with showing me respect, which makes you rather unique in my experience. I don't think you need to fear your lust.
Maybe I...